Welcome to the Two Blind Squirrels. How are y'all? How is everybody?
All right. Okay.
Good.
I'm making it.
You sure? Sure you're going to be all right there?
I am. I'm going to be good.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sorry.
Listen, everybody, to the Two Blind Squirrels. Brad and Faith are podcasting around the world. Just sit back now, give it a whirl. Welcome, everybody, to the Two Blind Squirrels.
I have no idea what we're talking about, so we'll wing it.
Okay. So the, what are you doing? Who are you calling?
Calling Kevin from California.
Oh, do I have to have a would you rather?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, okay.
So, what were you going to ask?
Nothing right now.
Okay. Doesn't sound like he's home already. That was a very long ring. That's usually a bad sign. She's chuckling at one already. Kevin doesn't love us. Kevin doesn't even like us.
How come nobody ever answers when we call him?
Because we... Because we don't actually like record on one given night of the week, so people never know when to like be around. I guess to give us a call or something. I mean to answer. I'm sorry, not to give us a call, to actually answer our call. So it's kind of self defeating. Is that the word?
No. Now who you calling?
Self.
What now? Who you calling?
Jeff Hopper. He is. Cousin of Edward Hopper, the famous painter.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Dennis Hopper's his dad's brother.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
But he just makes stuff up now?
Well, that's no good at all. He's on the phone.
You're just making things up? Yep. Is that what you do?
That's all I do.
Okay. Just make it up. This is exciting.
Yeah.
It's
called podcasting by the seat of your pants. Something like that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's ringing. One ringy dingy.
Two ringy dingies.
Oh. Three ringy dingies. That's the bad sign. Nobody loves us. Nobody loves us. Oh, well.
Okay, well, I'll ask you a question. You ready?
What?
Listen, would you rather listen to 24 hours of the flight of the bumblebee or watch snow on the television for 8 hours?
Oh, my goodness. That's a hard one. Jeff Hopper, this is your Tim Brown Scrolls calling. Please pick up the phone. This is the person the squirrel call. You're not there. Okay, fine. See if I care. See.
It's not.
You know what? You're not the bomb. Ha. I just told him you weren't the bomb.
Oh, yeah. You got lots of power. So what's your answer?
You're no bomb.
What? No bomb.
My answer?
Yoda, no bomb?
My answer is I'll take the snow because the flight of the bumblebee would haunt me for a week afterwards. The snow I could probably pretty fairly easily forget.
Oh, my
forget.
Word. I would want to shoot myself if I had to watch snow for 8 hours.
After that meeting I went to the other day, I can watch snow
can
for
endure,
8 hours.
You can endure anything.
Sure. No problem.
How's the whole... what is it? Organizational conflict. How's that going? How's organizational conflict going?
I'm succeeding in that.
Good, good.
I called a couple of people and cheated them out today. And
you're promoting organizational conflict.
I sent a complaint email to one person that did their job wrong, and they said, "You got the wrong person." And they said, they sent it back. You have the wrong Bella Rose. Let's say Bella Rose. I'm making the name up, okay? Because I went in the system and I saw that it was it had been done by Bella Rose. And so I sent an email to Bella Rose. And she sent me an email back saying, you have the wrong Bella Rose. I have CC'd the correct one. Well, the correct one was named Bella Hind. I guess she got married. Yeah. I don't know. But it's like, how am I supposed to figure that one out?
Yeah. All right. Sorry. So you're succeeding in conflict. That's good.
Me and conflict are copacetic.
You want something to feel conflict about?
What?
Well, you won't feel conflict. You'll feel pretty clear about how you feel about this.
Sure.
So it's a little loud.
Too loud? The music?
It's a little loud.
Too loud.
It's a little distracting.
There you go.
Thank you. It's supposed to be background music.
Sorry.
That was for, like, same level as me kind of music.
Well, I'm level 8 in the shows again, so it's all going to be fine.
Oh,
go ahead.
Good, good, good. What, you hadn't been doing that?
No, I've been normalizing the show through GarageBand since I switched to GarageBand, but evidently the normalizing doesn't work as well as the levelator, so I'm going back to levelator.
So you're levelating again.
I'm levelating, which adds about 3 steps to the process.
Oh, okay. But you got time.
Sure.
You got nothing to do.
I got nothing but time. I got time coming up. Never mind.
That's what I thought.
My ears.
Your ears. Uh-huh. Okay, so.
You need to speak into the mic.
I was moving
Are
something.
Are you a professional podcaster?
I am.
So what is it I'm going to be clear about here?
I've podcasted for almost a year now. Can you believe it's been a year?
I know.
I mean, it's been a lot longer for you. You've been doing this for like 5 years, but whatever.
I know. We're the longest running daily podcast in the world.
Ever.
Ever.
I don't know.
That has ever been done in the history of mankind.
Does that say much? I don't know.
No, not at all.
Okay. So anyway, on Monday, or like all last week and over the weekend, there was commercials that apparently Oprah was going to come out that she'd gained weight. Like nobody had noticed or something.
Come out?
Well, yeah.
Oh, come out of the... Coming out of the skinny closet?
Come out of the closet that she'd gained weight.
She's going to take her girdle off?
Like nobody could tell that she had gained weight.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you could see on the show. It wasn't like she was hiding it, which it was her big joke. You know, it was like, well, everybody's talking about it but me. I might as well talk about it.
Okay.
So anyway, she was all upset about it at herself or still dealing with this whole weight issue and blah, blah, blah. Okay, this is not my point. So the whole week was her best life week thing, you know, because she does that Bob Green best life diet thing. Oh. I don't know. You see it like on yogurt and stuff. He has best life. It's on spaghetti and things like that. Anyway.
If you say so.
So she does these shows. Well, I didn't. You know, I watched the one on the weight because that, you know, it's in that stuff interests me. So then the second day was on spirituality, and I deleted it because I'm like,
no, thank you.
Your crappity crap version of spirituality is crappity crap. So
she makes just enough truth in there to make it sound good.
So I didn't watch that, and then they had something about sex one day, and then they had like it's your making your life better in 2009 is the point, you know, the whole resolution business.
Mm-hmm.
So then they had financial awareness, and Susie Orman was on, which I really love. I've loved her for 15 years.
Sure.
Okay, so. The whole point of this
is that
on Monday of this week, when a week later,
yes,
they did this little, you know, recap, or like revisiting of all their things.
Uh-huh.
So I'm cruising through it. You know, I don't really watch a full episode much anymore. And so I'm cruising through it and I see this little snippet of the spirituality show.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to see what they said. You know, it's like curiosity. It's killing me.
Killed the cat.
I got to know. So there's this man in a collar, right? Okay. He's supposed to, I'm assuming he's a pastor.
A man in a collar.
There's a man in a collar. So I thought, oh, well, they have a priest on. Have a priest. So that, I mean, how bad can this be? I mean, she invited a priest, right? Right?
Is he Episcopalian?
I don't really know where the church he's from, somewhere in Seattle or California.
Yeah,
or something,
that's a
so
bad
that's not,
sign already.
That's not a good sign. But anyway, so there, she said the reason she's covering this is that it was the most controversial thing all week, like the whole deal. Because he says, that God made homosexuals that way, and he loves them just the way they are. They are precious to him, and he made them that way. And so we as Christians should be hateful. We should love them because that's God didn't, would Jesus would not, they do that whole business. Jesus would not hate them. He would love, well, of course he would love them.
Of course he would love them. And of course we should.
And of course we shouldn't hate
and
them.
And God did make them and they and are God precious to him. God did make them.
That's right. But see, that's where he just does that little turn. You know, I'm like, yeah,
we
you
should not accept them
twist.
The way they are.
No.
I mean,
yes, you should love them as they are. But you should love them to restoration.
That's right.
Yeah. And so, anyway, I just thought that was so interesting how they just turn that little. They just turn it. They just do it. And I'm like,
God ordains everything. Kill me. God ordains everything. But we can reject God.
Yep.
And he has ordinations for that, too. And so, you know.
I just think it's so interesting. You know, and then, of course, he says, you know, I've gotten so many calls this week of people weeping that saying, oh, thank you, Pastor, for making me feel like I'm not rejected and that God loves me and accepts me as I am and that he doesn't hate me.
You can feel any way you want.
And, you know, like she's like hundreds of thousands of people, you know. And she said, well, did you get any upset people? You know, I would assume, you know. She says, did you hear from the right wingers? That's what she says.
The right wingers.
That's what she said.
You mean the people who actually read the Bible?
Well, the thing that it caught me off guard because she has never made a statement of her. I mean, this is the first time that she's actually coming out and like making statements like that. It's very strange because she's always been good about that. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't care what you think personally. Who is it? The phone's ringing.
It's Mr. Mead.
Oh.
You want to answer it?
You can answer it. Tell him we're doing a show.
Mr. Mead?
Yes, Mr. McFadden, I'm an idiot.
Well, okay. I must legally warn you that you're on the Two Blind Squirrels right now. And I actually have you recorded admitting you're an idiot.
You know that's going to be played over and over and over and over and over. He will use that against you. You do know.
Can you hear a word she's saying?
Mr. Mead, you must have your own phone number.
Sneaky out of it.
Mr. Tim Mead, how are you doing tonight?
I would have been better had I made the phone call almost an hour ago now.
Well, that's okay. It was a very good call. Just for everybody else who's tuning in, we were our friend, our very dear friend who's been with the show and been with me and Charlie and Mr. Mead as well from the very beginning is dying of cancer. So we've been getting together on Tuesday nights and having a little call and praying for him and praying for Sherry, his wife. And so anyway, that's what we did tonight. And that's the call that Tim's talking about that he missed. But don't worry, Tim. We prayed and we talked to Sherry and prayed for her. And it was a good time.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, I was praying with you guys in the spirit. I just couldn't be there physically.
Well, that's okay. Did you get stuck on the train again?
No. I was stuck in my own head. I'm afraid I was stuck in my own head.
It happens.
I got busy working and was chasing a rabbit trail and looked up and saw what time it was and went, holy cow.
There you go.
Is being stuck in your own head, is that a scary place to be?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But, you know, people tell me, Tim, you live in your own little world. And I say, it's okay. Everybody knows me here.
Everybody knows me here. If you're stuck in my head, it's a very scary place. Well, Mr. Tim, we appreciate you calling in. And I will call you back and talk to you later, okay?
Outstanding. Have a great time recording, guys.
Bye,
Tim.
Thank
you. Bye-bye, Tim.
Bye-bye.
What was I saying?
You were talking about...
I just thought it was interesting that she's asked about the right-wingers. So he says, well, I got a few calls from the Christians, and they were the ones who were all judgmental.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, well, aren't you a Christian, sir?
From the Christians who are all
New Age
judgmental.
Church, Mr. New Age Church of the crappity crap?
No. I don't think you could say that.
I can, too. I'm sorry. What?
I didn't say anything.
Why are you looking at me like that?
You don't have to do that. He was pretty much doing it for himself.
He was, but you know, it's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. No, seriously.
Sorry.
The man, the man is right that God does love them, and he loves me and you and loves everybody.
Sure. He loves them in their sin, which is what homosexuality is. The whole bottom line is, the only controversy here is whether or not homosexuality is a sin.
Right.
That's the only controversy. That's the bottom
Everything
line.
Else
they can make it about judgment or about the hatred or about...
Hate speech,
or I was made this way, or they can make it about whatever they want to make it about. Bottom line, homosexuality is either a sin or it's not. And the only way we had to determine whether or not it's a sin is by reading God's own word, which says homosexuality is a sin. So, for me, the argument is over. Homosexuality is a sin, just like everything else.
Uh-huh.
if you're given over to sin, however... There are certain things the Bible says that you can't do, like serve as a pastor. You know, you're still going to sin as a pastor.
Of course.
But if you're giving yourself over to sin, you shouldn't.
Right.
So, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
They're only complicating the sin by then blaspheming what the Lord has said, saying my sin is not sin. And that just makes it worse.
Yeah.
Repentance.
I just was saddened.
Is the best way.
I was saddened by it because there are a lot of people now who have a false sense of approval. Is that the right word? Or a false sense of
There's always been
acceptance.
But there's always been prophets and pastors who have said what the people want to hear.
Yeah, that's true.
And
you
stray from the scriptures, lead people astray.
I know. It just saddens me. That was what the whole point was, that it just was sad. Because there's millions and millions of people all over the world now that feel, oh, okay, well, he says that God says it's okay. And so I'm okay. Because there are a lot of people who really struggle with mm-hmm. that, you know? They're mm-hmm. thinking, well, God thinks it's wrong. And so they struggle with that deal. But now is that struggle gone? It's sad for me. You know, I don't know. It's interesting. Interesting.
Yes, it is.
What do you got? What are you doing?
I was looking for a passage that we recently went over about this very subject, but I can't find it, so I'm about to give up. What else?
I broke into my neighbor's house today.
Yeah. So how'd that go for you?
Yeah. Good. Yeah. It was nice.
She fell and you had to break into her house because she didn't call the ambulance.
Well, she has one of those little things that, you know, you wear around your neck.
Yes.
Those emergency response deals, which are great.
Sure.
And she's in her late 80s and she has terrible osteoporosis and she's in lots of pain. And she's just a lovely lady. Was a school teacher for many, many years. And she has beautiful children who we know, you know, because we're neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And they come see her often. And anyway, Helen loves her and loves to go over there. Because she was a teacher, she just really enjoys Helen and loves teaching her things and doing stuff with her. But she's starting to get, you know, with her osteoporosis, she falls a lot. And so, mm-hmm. anyway, she didn't want to call the emergency number because it's a big to-do, you know, with the emergency. She's like, if I'm not hurt, I don't want to be drug off to the emergency room and all that. And so she fell and she asked me to come over and check on her and see if she was okay and if she needed to call the ambulance. Well, I couldn't get in the house, so I had to get our neighbor, you know, because the door is locked and she's laying on the floor and I'm mm-hmm. screaming at her and the neighbor had to come and we had to break through the door and... I was glad that Randy was home because otherwise I don't know what I would have done. I would have just stood there. I would end up calling
the fire
department to come break into her house. I even tried to crawl in the pet door, but it was locked. I couldn't get through. So,
and the fire department and the ambulance both had to respond when you do that.
And that's why she did. And that's why she didn't want him to come because she said, this is not that big of a deal, but she busted her lip on the counter. I mean, it was all big and puffy and, anyway, Randy and I carried her to the chair and set her up, and her daughter came. Her daughter came over. Thank you so much for taking care of her. And I said, would you please make me a key?
Good grief.
So she's going
to... stop locking your door.
Well, that's what Randy said. Don't knock your door... Don't lock your door during the day, you know, so that if something happens, we can get in. I mean,
Don't lock your door ever.
Because he and I are both here. I mean, yeah. He's retired and you know, he was out working on his fence and, you know, I'm home with the kids. So anyway, so.
Okay, we'll give you
that
this.
That was the exaction for my day.
We'll give you this and then we'll end the show. But because I finally found what I was looking for.
Oh, okay.
Brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ that you receive from us instruction and that you ought to walk and please God in all that you do and excel even more. For you know the commandments that we gave you and by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the will of God that your sanctification, that is you, abstain from sexual immorality. Why? That each of you know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and in honor. Not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. Let's see, what did he say about people who what does that say? People who don't abstain from sexual immorality don't know God? Well, anyway, it's implied. And that no man trespass and defraud his brother in the matter because the Lord is the avenger of these things. I feel sorry for that man. Because he's going to have to answer for what he said. And he's going to have to answer to the Lord who is going to avenge him for the things he said that had defrauded his brother in the matters of sexual immorality.
There's going to... What is that?
Be
loss?
Careful.
Is that some loss there?
I'm just saying, you can't go around just, you know, blaspheming the Holy Spirit because there's consequences. Even for Christians, even for pastors,
well,
even for people who have collars on.
Well, and you know,
there's consequences for what you say. Scary. Scary. That's why I'm not a pastor. Okay. Best thing you can do as a pastor is quote the Bible.
Uh-huh.
The more
Bible
that is in your sermon,
the
better
you.
Your sermon.
More Bible, less you.
Yeah. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Check out, if you Twitter, check out twitter.com/MLMIN. MLMIN is basically all the RSS feeds from all the blogs and all the shows that in the My Life Ministries network. Also, check out twitter.com/fishnews. And there you will find a lot of news articles that are links to news articles that are Christian-related topics that we'll keep you up on what's going on without depressing you, I hope. That's the goal, anyway. Okay. That's enough of all that, don't you think?
Uh-huh.
I think so. She can't even talk anymore because she's blowing snot over there.
I'm sorry.
You have to apologize.
Snuck
you're
up
sick.
On me today. I'm not sick.
You're not. I'm sorry. You're not sick. You just got a little cold. A little head cold.
I'm not sick.
Okay. Also, there's a 3-minute Bible study worth your time, worth every minute of your time. It has really taken off. We've got a commentator who has joined us to help out, to answer questions in detail. Mr. Winston, thank you so much for your work in this. I really hope it worked. I hope you enjoy doing it and the Lord calls you to continue. It's such a blessing to have you there. And we have, and you know, there's many others. And so I'm excited about that. 3 minutes a day. It's all it requires. MyLifeMinistries.org. Just click on 3-minute Bible study. Vayos con Dios, everybody.
Vayos con Dios.
2 blind squirrels, they're gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. Dear God, I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.